Hello, everybody. Just getting started here. Just one sec. We'll wait for everybody to join. Okay. Gotta put my background on. All right. Let me get the agenda up. And we have a special guest speaker today, Mark Caney. Hey. Good to see you. All right, just a sec. I have a few announcements and we also have some breaking news. Can everyone hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks, Jean. All right, let me get this up. So lucky seven, we have just learned that we're going to be able to include the reporting app in Bugfest, I think in Trillium, as announced by Charlotte Witt from Index Data. So yay, this is very good news. We've been hoping to have that included as part of our formal testing for each Bugfest and working through the administrivia to get that done. And so it looks like it's happening. So I'll reach out to you more with details probably next reporting sig meeting. We'll take a look at that because it just popped up on the radar here. But this is fantastic news. All right. So do we have Linda here today?
Yes, I got it.
Okay, thank you so much, Linda, our steadfast attendance taker. Let me just, it is blazing hot here in New and I have to turn up my volume to hear you guys. There we go, because the air conditioner is on. There we go. All right. So we have a new topic that we like to include in every meeting. We're just wondering if there are any topics that you have on your mind for reporting that you'd like us to present on in the reporting sig meetings, going forward. Is there something that you've been wondering about, something that you'd like to present on? Well, just keep that in mind. And if something comes to you, please bring it up in the chat or go ahead and wave your hand. And we'd love to hear from you because we always are working hard to tailor this to your informational needs. Impacts of new fields and features. We do want to go through that for Ramsins soon. And I do have, I think I'll pop that open first before we get into Mark Kinney's presentation. Yeah, we are always looking for new ideas for making the meetings informative and helpful. We're always looking also for people to help us with the various tasks involved with supporting reporting on the Folio project. So we really still could use somebody to work on our documentation team. So please reach out to me if you have cycles to do that and would like to contribute in that way. And that's for the docs.folio.org site. And we always need query developers to help move us forward in that arena. So I just want to pop open this ticket that we've been talking about in the reporting circles, and I do want to get a little bit more information. But I want to make you aware that this mod invoice is happening. If anybody knows more about this, I would love to hear more. It looks like University of Missouri. Do we have anybody from Missouri?
Yeah, it's Katie. I'm here.
Oh, Katie, yes. Would you mind telling us a little bit more about this? Sorry to put you on the spot. This just crossed my path and I was very concerned about it, so.
Yeah, it just something on the we just noticed what we do with our we get invoices from Gobee is that we download the JSON, convert it to a text file, and send it to PeopleSoft. And our acquisition people noticed that it wasn't working correctly, that the date format, instead of, the ISO format, it was just like a strict string of numbers. And we reported it to EBSCO, and they said it was likely caused by an RMB upgrade. So my colleague Stephen, he created a script to temporarily transform the file so we can still process this. But we're not sure whether this was intentional or not, or if it was a mistake. We looked at MetaDB and it seems like it's not affecting dates there.
Oh, hello. That is what I wanted to
But
hear.
I'll get to the point, right?
No, that's okay. No, that's
Yeah.
wonderful. We don't have Ramsons yet, so we, haven't been able to. Well, actually, we just did get it, but not hooked up to MetaDB. So we only have it in Folio Test. So, and we will get it hooked up to MetaDB so we can test this also. But I am delighted. So you've tested this in Ramsons?
Yes.
And you don't get this epic long format in invoice dates or voucher dates.
No, we don't.
So does that mean, I guess this is just sort of a question we may have to contact Nasib about, but I wonder if the ETL process fixes that. It's possible. So I was kind of hoping that it wouldn't affect things. So this is fantastic news. So I had added some urgent question to that because I was afraid that we'd start seeing this epic long format in our dates for invoices and vouchers, and I was not happy about that. So this is quite a relief to hear that it doesn't look like it's impacting things in Ramsons. We will test nonetheless just to have another set of eyes on it, but it sounds like I'm very relieved. So thank you so much. That is excellent news. So okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Katie. Appreciate it.
Sure, yeah, it was a relief for us too. I think we just, I know we were going to say something in the ticket and we just didn't get around to it. So I'm sorry.
Oh, that's
We should
okay.
provide relief
Do
earlier.
you do you should I put something on? It would be helpful to have something on the ticket. Would you mind adding something just to say, we've tested this in Ramsons with MetaDB? And it
Okay.
is okay. Do you know what version of MetaDB you're running?
No, that's bad.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
Do you know,
Why don't I?
sorry, your hair, do you know?
I
You
don't know.
there's a little script. Hi, Corey.
Hi.
There's a little script you can run, right, Corey, for to determine the version. So why don't I contact you guys offline about that, and we can kind of coordinate getting the ticket updated because others may run across that and be alarmed as I was. So why don't
Yeah,
I?
I'm
I'll
not
just.
even. I have to connect to the VPN to connect to MetaDB, and of course, I'm not connected at all, so I can't quick look
Oh, no, that's
get to
okay.
MetaDB.
Okay. No worries. I'll follow up with you after so that we can just get a little note on. I think it'd be really helpful to get a little note on the ticket to say this doesn't, in our testing, we don't see this impacting dates, because for if it did impact dates, that would be huge. So a huge pain. So thanks so much to both of you. Appreciate it. Okay, without further ado, we're going to hear from Mark today on where is Lehigh in building a reporting ecosystem in Folio. So thank you so much, Mark. I'll let you share.
Great, thank you. So I'm Mark Canny. I'm the manager of lending services at Lehigh University. And at the June 2nd meeting, Sharon and Scott asked for volunteers to discuss how sites are utilizing Folio reporting tools. And I felt I should break my normal stone cold silence and volunteer, because reporting has been a big focus for us so far this year at Lehigh. First, by necessity, because at the beginning of the year, we needed, of course, to migrate our LDP reports to MetaDB. But building on that momentum, we started creating other new reports and developing our shared repository. And we saw new opportunities with development advancing in MetaDB, and then also in the lists and reporting apps. A second motivation for a deeper dive into Folio reporting, at least for me, it seems like MetaDB has reached a stable target and is worth the pain of getting involved with it. The initial step into Folio reporting can be steep. Figuring out just this how to securely access your LDP, setting up your SQL client, learning the structures of tables and schemas. And it made sense for me to invest the time once the environment became more settled, as it seems to be now with MetaDB. And for example, the derived tables save the pain of having to deal with JSON data, which was always where I kind of hit the wall previously. Also, the resources for reporting have never been stronger in terms of documentation, recorded presentations that are available. People have shared their repositories, and then these weekly SIG meetings have been immensely helpful for us this year. We don't have a data analyst on staff per se, and we're not expert report writers, at least I'm not. Many sites seem much further along than us. But we've been able to borrow from your shared repositories and then just learn from the conversation at the SIG. And also, we just welcome your feedback on how we're thinking about this. Just a little Lehigh history in terms of integrated library systems. Generally, we've been on open source ILS since 2012. We started on QualiOLE in 2012, and then we migrated to Folio in 2020. Before open source ILS, we were on Circe Dynex, and there we had a very full, mature middleware for distributed and self-service reporting, and with APIs for advanced reporting. For me in lending services, reporting has been the biggest gap we've had with the open source ILS. As managers, this gap has pushed us into report writing, both for team workflows and for statistical analysis. And our library technology team has found other creative ways to make reports available to us using the APIs. One of these is a Google Sheets add-on for various circulation and acquisitions workflows developed by our former developer, Michelle Cernofsky. And we've used her Google Sheets solution extensively, for example, to track loans with expiring or graduating patrons for overdues and for other workflows. So in 2025, Folio seems to have crossed into a new level of possibility and choice for self-service reporting. I mentioned the LDP to MetaDB transition with near real-time access to one's data. Also now in the reporting app, the Query Builder user interface, and saved reports. And I have a link to our GitHub repository that I'll share later. The Lists app is a promising new tool for us to explore. You have the ease of selecting on record types instead of just using the derived tables or the direct tables. So lists are more accessible for team members who just need a fresh list. Staff who previously were dependent on managers to run lists for them can now go in and access save lists that we have created. Bulk edit is primarily used by metadata management. We haven't used it that much in resource access, but we'll have to see where development goes and possibly opening up access for managing users and loans. I should mention also in-apps reports, which at least for us have been less helpful really, mainly because the CSV exports require several extra cleanup steps, but also because we've just developed other methods like the Google Sheets solution that I mentioned. And then there's some links here with resources that we've found helpful in our advancement this year. There was a WolfCon 2024 presentation by Index Data on the reporting app and how to use the Git repository. At this RASIG last year, in July, there was a presentation by Stefan on writing reports for the Folio reporting app. In February of this year, Tara Bennett from Index Data gave a great presentation on lists, bulk edit, and the reporting app. And again, I can share these links later after we get the meeting notes. This is a summary slide from Tara's February presentation. And I think this was really an impetus for us to consider the various reporting solutions and try to make a decision about which solutions were most appropriate for various audiences. Based on Tara's slide and presentation, we built our own decision matrix based on what we perceived were strengths and weaknesses of each reporting solution and our internal reporting needs. I'll say more about what we liked and disliked about each way of doing reporting, but I also need to acknowledge that the analysis that we did in the earlier part of this year, it's a moving target because we started on Quiznalia, but we just came up on Ransoms a few weeks ago in mid-June, and Ransoms addressed many of the concerns that we had, and also development is ongoing. So again, it's kind of a moving target. The next slide, I'm gonna call on Vanessa, who's the university librarian for access services and collections, to talk about organizationally what their perspective is on teams and their reporting needs.
Yeah, so all of the different teams have different reporting needs. There are team members in acquisitions, lending services, metadata, who often need access to more detailed reports to perform standard maintenance tasks, such as closing completed orders that didn't get finished all the way, identifying material stuck in the wrong status, like in transit when they actually arrived 2 months ago, identifying records with incorrect or poorly formatted information. But the team members that need the quick access to the detailed reports often don't have the time or the expertise to run the SQL queries that MetaDB would require. In the past, we defaulted to either using in-app Folio reports, which Mark mentioned haven't always served us the way we wanted them to, or having team managers run the report in MetaDB and then sending the output to other team members to act upon the information. But our new reporting options are helping us find a way to give team members more autonomy to run their reports as needed themselves. Additionally, we have other library staff, such as our instruction and outreach librarians, who want information without any extraneous bits, like they don't want patron information in the circulation record. And they also need it to be quick and easy to understand in visualizations and whatnot. And also, they need it to be very easy to access because they're accessing these things somewhat infrequently. They don't need to go through a 12-step reminder of how to get to the information quarterly. And then we also have members of the library leadership team that really need more information to overall trend information. Is circulation going up or down? Are expenses going up and down, and by how much? And being able to not only have that sort of long trend information, but also in a format that is easy to digest and that they can share with other university stakeholders in a way that they can see the main points of the information, without having to have the complex knowledge of our fund structure or what are the different patron types. So those are the sort of like different reporting needs that we're seeing.
Great. Thank you, Vanessa. Continuing on with this sort of SWOT analysis of the various tools and how we assess them now. First, the reporting app, what we like about that. We like that MetaDB has near real-time access to data. We like the query builder providing a user interface for selecting tables and choosing filters. We like saved queries, although we haven't used them extensively because of the limited filters available. You can only filter on what's in a given table. Table joins aren't supported yet, although I think that's maybe coming in Trillium. And then saved reports, on the other hand, are very powerful, we've experimented a lot with them, but they can be difficult to create. Table joins allow us to combine entity types in our reports without APIs. And then report repositories in GitHub, that's been another learning challenge, there's a special thrill in creating a report in the repository and going through cycle after cycle of errors and then finally getting it right, having a report run successfully, and then be able to save and to share it. So reporting app, what we dislike, at least in Q, There's a minimal organization for saved reports. We've tried to use a little bit of formatting and naming convention to provide some sort of visual organization, but it's pretty crude. Access control is also problematic because of PI that we have in some circ reports, especially. Query Builder gives access to all schemas and tables, but saved queries can lack some key filters. And then a minor bug that we discovered is that in the output of reports, report columns are output alphabetically by field name and not according to the sort order set in the query. So there's a bug report on that issue, but we've been able to just get around that. So which teams would reports be useful for? Potentially all teams, but we need to resolve the issue with organization and with access control to protect PI. And then the list app, what we liked, the ease of selecting on entity or record types, lists persist, refresh, and export. Query Builder includes Boolean operators and field limits. And then it seems like there's a very set development path with new record types and features that are coming in lists. In Ransom, some new features that we're currently like testing and figuring out. Permissions. Previously, list permissions gave access to everything exposed by those lists. Now, list is supposed to check if a user has permissions for a specific record or entity type. And then in ransoms, there were additional entity types that were introduced. In ransoms, we gained the ability to filter on items with a statistical code, and we've been using that new feature for our summer inventory project. It's been very helpful with that. On the other hand, we're still unable to filter on a staff note in the item that we place in there to indicate if an item has a condition concern that needs follow-up. So we're looking forward to the possibility of including item notes. I have a link for a presentation, a demo that the Corsair team gave on the List app. I forget the date of that, of that, but it's well worth a watch, and I'll provide that link later. Also, we were happy to see that in ransoms, the CSV export suddenly has become much easier. With the ability to export only selected columns. Although for some reason in items, the item ID is still included in the export. So that's a bit of a head scratcher. And then we did notice when we accessed our list after the upgrade, that some of the lists needed to be recreated, apparently because of some changed field names. But that was minor. It didn't take long to get past that. So list app, what we disliked. First, I would say that the user interface requires some caution. Query Builder requires knowledge of record structures so you don't make false assumptions. If you choose loans, for example, Are they open loans, or did you intend to include closed loans as well? If you select patron records, did you want to see ILL patrons or library use patrons? Items, if you're running a report on items, do you want to see items that are shadowed or withdrawn at any of the various inventory levels? So it's important to know your data and also to consult your teammates. We work closely with our metadata management team to really understand our reports, especially how they relate to inventory. And then in the LISAP, the ability to combine record types is pending. But the LISAP, let's see, does give access, let's see, so the LISAP gives access to all entity types. That issue is apparently resolved in ransoms, although we're still trying to confirm that. And then the export file requires a rework. That issue is, as I mentioned, is resolved in ransoms, and it makes self-service reporting for our team members much nicer. So which teams could benefit from the LISAP? Well, our circulation staff who are tracking projects and activities. We run missing reports, lost in transit, items with unknown locations, and we've been using lists already to track our summer inventory project. The strength of lists, again, is that they're self-service. Staff are able to run them and easily export data on their own. And on the right slide. I'm going to shift to a conversation that we've had in the SIG. It was actually initiated by Maccabee Levine from our library technology team in April. Maccabee presented at the SIG about access permissions in MetaDB. And he elicited feedback from all who were interested and participated in that conversation. And then in May, very quickly, Mike Gorrell visited the SIG and announced that Index Data had already acted on the feedback and introduced some new commands for user authorization. And that should provide some control over access to tables in MetaDB and in the reporting app. I'm actually going to just conclude with that note. Now in July, we'll be working on our fiscal year retrospective, perhaps trying to make some connections with business intelligence tools, and then working on some data centralization or warehousing. Vanessa and I are actually planning to present at WolfCon on our work in reporting. And so we'll have more to say there about our next steps and what our broader goals are for reporting. So we welcome all of your feedback, and we thank you for your contributions to the SIG, because everyone benefits when we share. So,
Mark, thank you so much. That was
okay.
fantastic.
Thank you.
I want to open it up for questions or comments or thoughts anybody may have about all of these topics. What a great analysis. I really appreciate both the simplicity and the complexity of what you have been analyzing for reporting, working together. It's just excellent. Anyone have any follow-up questions? I have a couple, but I'm gonna see if anybody else has any first.
Hi, Mark, thank you very much for your presentation. It was very interesting. One question that keeps running through my head with these various other tools, the reporting app and the list app and that kind of thing, is verification that you're getting the right results. How do you know that, for example, in the reporting app, if you have a report that shows whatever, how do you verify that that is in fact what the result ought to be? And I ask that because, well, for a couple of reasons. I mean, number one is when I do a report, I'm always trying to figure out ways to double check that what I'm getting is a complete list, you know, of whatever. And it's not obvious. It's not obvious. The other thing is that we recently had a little situation where we were trying out a reporting app report on something that one of our circulation supervisors had asked about. And the results that I got from doing my own custom query were much different than the results that the reporting app got. Now, since I don't know how the reporting app works, I didn't know what to think, you know. But in general, if I started doing using the reporting app, I would want to be confident that it was doing what I was hoping it would do. How do you propose to deal with that situation?
Joanne, I think you might mean the Lists app was your compare.
No, actually, the reporting app, because the reporting app is one where you can build a query, right? You
Right.
can,
Oh, okay. You did the query
you know,
builder.
yeah,
Oh,
the
okay.
query builder, and somebody has built a query and is happy with the result, but I want to know that that query is correct. I want to know that it's getting the right information. And the one brief experience that we had here, it did not seem to be getting the right information. So I am wondering how you perform a check, a verification. Is there any way that you can do that?
That's why I put on the slide that the user interface can be tricky for a query builder. And I kind of hated to say that because it's a beautiful tool, but
Right.
you can make assumptions that are not really verified. And as I said, I have to be careful to check with the metadata team. Am I making correct assumptions about item records? And then I've sort of discovered that sometimes I'm reporting on loan records that are where because of
Right,
resource
closed.
sharing,
Yeah.
they're closed. They're closed.
Right.
And I think that was really the task of moving from LDP to MetaDB is like recreating these reports and trying to verify that they're correct. I think and then with the list app at least you can fall back on MetaDB and see if you run an equivalent report there. Like do you get similar numbers? But yeah, it's been a challenge to really make sure that we're making correct assumptions.
Yeah, I would almost think that you'd want to be able to create a query from scratch yourself and start small and see if the results come out the same as the one built in the reports app. You know what I mean? So it just seems to me that it's too easy to take it for granted that it's correct. And I would certainly want to have some verification about that before I was, you know, gung ho on the reports app, the reporting app. Anyway. Just FYI.
Thank you, Joanne. I had a question about access permissions. We are currently wrestling with the challenge of figuring out, how to make sure that our front end is doing what we want it to do when it comes to access to the reporting app to deliver saved reports that are running against MetaDB. In this context where we have MetaDB access permissions changing with 1.4, version 1.4 of MetaDB with the grant and revoke permissions, basically, have you been wrestling with the idea of roles for access to MetaDB data? And with the complexity of the, this layer of the reporting app on top of that, and Folio permissions on top of that. So I go in, I have certain Folio permissions, I have certain reporting app permissions, I have certain MetaDB permissions. I would love to hear your thoughts on how we can move forward to make that all work.
I'm glad McAbee has his hand up because I'm going to defer to him on this one.
Thanks, McAbee.
Yeah, sure. And I love the question, Sharon, because I am so interested in that answer also. As Mark described, MetaDB 1.4 is going to be a great improvement, and they've introduced the access permissions that you just described to the schema access itself, which is at the user level, grant user access, right? There are several things that we, as Mark referred to in his presentation, that we discussed at the SIG a couple of months ago, and built a document sort of outlining some requests, which I'll just share in the chat, that includes what MetaDB 1.4 asks, includes, but a lot more on top of that. And Lehigh did invite Mike Gorrell to talk to us about some of these things a couple of weeks ago. And so the information that we have to answer some of your questions is, we did bring up, and I should say all of the things that we brought up are mentioned on this document, but we did bring up what you just asked, Sharon, about the role-based access to the schemas. It's not something that is coming to us in MetaDB 1.4. Mike understood why it would be a useful thing, but it wasn't something that currently exists. One of the questions that I had as part of that was simply from a vendor customer relations point of view, how would this work in terms of if we don't have role permissions and we have a new user, a new staff member who is in an existing role, would we then, as the campus, be the ones running all of these new MetaDB create user access, commands, or is that something they would be doing? And that was a good question also, and Index Data didn't have an answer necessarily on that. So how some of those MetaDB 1.4 features would be used is not yet figured out. And it's also important to note that they have, while they've made that change or that new capability at the schema level, unfortunately, that doesn't have any impact yet on the reporting app, either the queries part of the reporting app or the reports part of the reporting app, because the reporting app is only using a single Folio user, right? Or MetaDB or schema user, right? I should be
Yes.
saying. So no matter
Yes.
who's using the Folio reporting app, all of us together are using the same account to access those reports, which, as Mark described, is really problematic because it means that we can't, it's an all or nothing situation. Either we provide the reporting app to everybody or to no one. And that means, as Mark described, PII is a real problem.
Yes.
So we are still, Mike has promised a follow-up and a fuller look at the document that the SIG shared, and sort of some thoughts on the broader scope of what we asked for and addressing it more broadly. And I think he was hoping to do that actually later this month after a few other things got done. So I'm hoping we still have some traction on that.
Wonderful. And we're planning hopefully next week to have a data privacy, protecting your data in MetaDB session to touch on these points as well, along with McAbee, Mark, anybody who is interested in joining in that. And we'll share our struggles. And Stanford has been doing some work on permissions. So, and if you know of anyone else who we should include next week in a talk, that's just basically kind of a roundtable on, what are the issues, what are we looking for, and what are the needs. So I feel like we're sort of in a needs assessment phase with regard to access, based on what I'm hearing. But McAbee, thank you so much for making that proposal and pushing that forward, and Index Data, likewise, thanks for responding so quickly to that request to at least get us to the grant revoke permissions. But it's right now, it's just sort of mind-boggling to try to envision how Folio permissions, Reporting App, and MetaDB permissions will all work together happily. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, but I think we'd all like to see something, because we're also struggling. We're all I think it's shared across colleges and universities, just trying to protect patron data that's sensitive, or financial data that's sensitive. And so we do need to have, security role type access to this data. So, any other questions about any McAbee, Vanessa, and Mark? Our Lehigh team has touched on a lot of points. Were there any other follow-up questions or thoughts that folks had? All right. Well, I see. Well, thank you so much, all of you, for contributing to that and walking us through your analysis. And I'm just going to check in. I see Scott is here, so my co-convener. Is there anything else that we should mention before we close and give everyone 10 minutes back?
I think we're good. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, and if you haven't signed up for WolfCon 25, there are going to be a lot of reporting presentations, including this one by our wonderful colleagues at Lehigh University. So there's going to be a training on all things reporting that Scott and I will do, and also kind of a general presentation, and lots of other presentations. We'll go through that in one of our upcoming meetings, so you can see. But if you haven't had a chance to take a look at the schedule, you may want to pop that open and see what you think. Other than that, thanks for joining, everybody, and we'll see you at the next reporting meeting. Take care. Have a good day.
Thank you.